You're listening to View from the Couch, a podcast about TV, movies, DVD, and just about anything from parents with children. And now, your hosts, Kent and Michelle.
Hello, and welcome to View from the Couch for Wednesday, July the 13th. And it's a Wednesday, not a Friday, so don't panic. Well, we are back on the couch, and I say we.
Hello.
Meaning more than one.
Hello.
How are you?
Just let me move my feet and take my crown off.
Yeah, and I don't like this coffee mug ring that's on my end, by the way.
I was getting cozy.
I know you were.
It's a good thing you're back.
You were wearing adult undergarments so that you could sit for long stretches of time without being disturbed.
Exactly.
Any more disturbed than you already are.
No, I was not. That's gross.
I mean, no. Well, hello, everybody. I'm back. Nobody asked. I don't know whether to be touched that it was so everyone was so respectful or hurt that no one gave a crap.
I'm surprised we didn't get emails like, are you getting divorced? Is he sick?
We sold half the couch because he's a scumbag.
Nobody even wondered.
And maybe you're just respectful. I'm going to go with that because otherwise I'm hurt.
That's right.
So I am back, and some health issues, long story, won't get into it, doesn't make good podcast content. I'm getting better, not better yet, but getting better, and better enough that I can't let this train go off the tracks anymore.
Oh.
I just can't. No, Michelle did an awesome job. Wait a minute, let me...
No, I need I want a slow clap.
You want a golf clap?
No, I want a slow clap.
You don't want this, for example. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That's our studio audience, by the way. View from the Couch studio audience. And no, you're too kind, folks. You're too kind. Anyway, just settle down. Settle down. We got a show to do. So, yes, Michelle did an awesome job. I couldn't have done it without her, except I did do it without her. I didn't do it without you. I never done nothing without you. That's the name of my my autobiography. Nothing without you. Wow. So back to View from the Couch. I am delighted to be back. I are loving it.
Excellent.
And you have to go to...
And we are loving you, I guess.
Oh, hug me. Hug me. Hug me. Love me. I'm like one of our dogs. Hug me. Pet me. Walk me. Pet me. Love me. We have needy pets. As everyone knows, we have very needy pets. You're very tired. Why are you so tired? Michelle is in the home stretch. She's in the home stretch... To her, the end is in sight of her part-time mall job.
Yeah, it's been more than part-time lately.
You've been mauled more than you care to admit.
Yes. It's been tiring. I'm tired.
And she had 2 days off in a row, and someone had hurt themselves at work and was hobbling around, so Michelle offered to go in.
No, they called and asked if I could. Oh. And I said I would.
And she said, the words were already out of her mouth before it was too late.
Yeah.
Sure, I'd love to. Oh, no.
Yeah.
You'd already said. It's 2 hours.
I know.
But it still stinks.
Yeah.
Because I was looking forward to having you home.
I know.
And not crying myself to sleep like I normally do when you're working in the evening.
Yeah.
You know what Disney needs to do? They need to make more movies about other rides, like, say, the Matterhorn.
They're going to?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. That's one of the conversations that I've been reading about, one of the speculations I've been reading about, is that there's supposed to be some sort of a Matterhorn movie. Now, I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Maybe it would be alive. People are trapped.
The Abominable Snowman. It's already been made, hasn't it?
Disney park goers are trapped on the Matterhorn and forced to eat each other. Maybe that's...
Maybe that's it.
Our soccer team is trapped on the Matterhorn. I don't get it.
No.
But, you know, the good news is, obviously, Pirates has done very well. Thank you very much. All based on a ride. Shouldn't have worked. Worked beautifully. Continues to work beautifully.
Right.
And my favorite Disney property, of course, Haunted Mansion, was butchered as a film and is now being redone now that Disney's under new presidential management.
Is this Couch Entertainment News?
Okay, Couch Entertainment News. And there you go. Okay, sorry. So back to that. So it was butchered. It was made into a kind of a comedy, and it starred Eddie Murphy. What a great way to ruin a great property. So fortunately, they're going back to it, and Guillermo del Toro is going to direct and have very much, and he's got big time love on for the Haunted Mansion. So that's exciting. And then the other thing, too, that's exciting about Disney is obviously everybody probably remembers they bought Marvel.
Right.
So what they're looking at doing right now is trying to figure out how to bring those great characters in to the existing parks in a way that doesn't cause people to have whiplash going, huh, what?
Yeah.
Which is hard to do.
So what characters would that be? I forget. Superman's?
No, that's DC. So you've got the Avengers. You've got Iron Man, the Hulk, Spider-Man, the X-Men. All the movies that are doing well right now, not Green Lantern. Yeah, basically all the Marvel characters could potentially show up in Disney Parks somehow.
Hmm.
In some way, shape, or form. Now, in Disneyland itself in California, there's been talk of adding a Marvel element into Tomorrowland. But, you know, you've already got Buzz Lightyear and the Star Tours 2.0, the new Star Tours version is up and running and doing very well, and people are loving that. The perfect timing to add something in Marvel-wise would be before next summer when The Avengers comes out. How do you either A, revamp an existing attraction, or B, create a whole new one, having Disney Imagineers do that in a year? California Adventure, anyone? Let's rush something and screw it up. So that worries me a little. Now that I'm back on the show, I don't want to dominate it, so you keep talking. You're
okay.
Just sitting there.
I'm just thinking that I don't know how I feel about that. Like, why? I think they should just quit.
Do you think they should do a separate park? Disney should do a separate park and focus around?
I don't know.
You don't care.
See, to me, yes. No. I would say yes, that's what they should do.
Do a separate park?
Yes.
Well, and obviously the challenge, too, that I was going to get to in a sec is
Islands of Adventure.
Yes. Universal's Islands of Adventure is a hop, skip, and a jump from Walt Disney World, and the existing Universal deal makes it pretty clear that while Disney has the rights to the Marvel characters, they can't suddenly bring them into Walt Disney World until... And now I don't know what that means. Would Universal let go of the Marvel properties altogether? I doubt it, because they just spent huge cash revamping the 3D Spider-Man ride in Islands of Adventure. So...
Right.
Are they going to say, yeah, you're right, you can have it? You know,
No, obviously they won't.
I doubt it.
But to bring... See, to me, even the Muppets, like the Muppets in California... Why?
I feel like that's a stretch.
It's just dumb.
Well,
and the Muppets are dumb, so why put them in Disneyland?
And they have a new movie coming out.
And that'll probably be dumb, too.
Oh, dear. You don't like them?
I like the Muppets.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're kind of irritating.
Okay, lie back on the couch. Why do you not like the Muppets?
I don't know. They're just...
You are Miss Piggy with your...
They're puppets.
Yelling and attacking.
And they're irritating.
No, they're Muppets.
Same difference.
What is a puppet with an M? What does that mean?
I don't know. Nothing.
Muppet.
It's still a puppet, and they're irritating. And I don't know why they ever put them at, Disney World.
Disneyland.
I mean.
Well, the story goes that way back when Jim Henson was still alive and still the head of...
Yeah, they were, I know. But, this is where you're talking about too many pies. Like,
okay.
Pull your fingers out, Disney. You took Pixar. Now you took Marvel. So everything that you overtake, you're going to add to the park, and then it'll just be a mishmash of crap that makes no sense.
Did I tell you they were buying Coke? Kidding! No.
It's stupid. Keep it the way it was. It was fine.
Don't complicate it with characters beyond your own kind of scope. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Don't add Muppets, which existed on their own. Don't add Marvel that existed on its own.
And even, like, kind of in a way, it even kind of irritates me that they've got, like, I mean, it's okay. It's okay. At least it's in California Adventure. But, you know, the Monsters, Inc. ride and all the Cars stuff.
But the Pixar connection, right?
Yeah, I know, but that's Pixar. And Disney took that over, too. Well, fingers out, people.
Oh, boy. See, I come back and she's mad again. She's mad again. It's my fault.
Why? They're making enough money. Why do they have to start trying to drag all this other crap into the process? Just leave it. It's fine.
You know what I think Disney should make a movie about?
What?
Those big turkey legs. Those giant Flintstone-sized turkey legs. I have nightmares about that. Those things.
They come alive at night and
they're huge.
Go on all the rides.
It's like eating a shaved poodle. Those things are huge.
I know, and disgusting.
I like turkey, but wow.
Where did they find those things? They're like monster turkeys.
I don't know if I said this before, but it reminds me of that part in the opening or the end of the Flintstones, where they put the big ribs on the side of the Fred's car and it flips over. It's like, I don't know, they're genetically altering turkeys.
I think so. Anyway. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's dumb. And if they add stuff in there, I'm just going to go spit on it.
Ooh. Wow. And then I'll have a big heap of trouble trying to get her back across the border. But anyway, speaking of getting across the border, I don't think I've ever talked about that. So here I am, innocent Canadian guy. Just like, you know, just finding a good deal on the internet, because you can trust the internet and you can trust eBay. Wink, wink. So I go to buy a set of The Unit, which is the Special Forces American TV series that was canceled because we liked it too much, so it was canceled. And I ordered a box set off eBay, and this was before Christmas time. So then I get this letter from
U.S. Customs
basically saying you've tried to illegally import goods, they've been seized, you can either give up your ownership of them or whatever, but wow, that was crazy. So a friend of mine's a lawyer, fortunately, and I just talked to him and I said, what do I do? And he said, you're completely innocent because you had no idea somebody was selling pirated goods on eBay, because that never happens. So he just said, just let it go. Just let the stuff go. But I had talked to somebody that I knew with Customs and Border Patrol, and he said, it's quite likely that this will show up on my record in terms of not a criminal record, but in terms of any time we go into the U.S. on business or fun or whatever, it could come up as a flag. So then I might have to explain it every time we go into the U.S. or even
fun.
Every time we come back. So
that'd be very fun.
So this buddy of mine suggested what I write to them, and I sent them a letter and everything. So hopefully that kind of dealt with it a little bit. But wow. So, I mean, speaking of our Disneyland and that we'd want to go back and whatever. Hopefully that doesn't happen. Anyway.
If it does, I'm going to desert you at the border.
Are you?
Yeah. Sorry.
Hey, honey.
We
what's
had plans.
The,
see you later.
Hey, honey, what's the matter? Oh, well, see ya. We'll be back here in 10 days. You just wait right here and we might pass by. And if we don't, well, too bad.
We'll meet you back at the house.
Meet you back at the house. See you later. Have a good time. Walk the dogs. Yeah. So there you go. Disney, Matterhorn, Marvel, what are they doing? What are they doing?
I don't
understand. I don't claim to understand. Something that it's, I don't know why it's taken me, I don't know, what is it, 5 years to get into, is Kevin Pollak, actor Kevin Pollak, very famous in A Few Good Men, in Usual Suspects. He has his own chat show, and it is called, ironically, Kevin Pollak Chat Show. And what he does is, this is actually what Michelle had been talking about the last time I was on the show, I think, was this would be how she'd like to see Inside the Actor's Studio go, and that is have somebody interesting on that's an actor and just let him talk.
Yes.
Let him talk. Don't interrupt. Oprah, don't interrupt.
Don't edit it to crap.
Yeah. So that's what Pollock does is he interacts with the guests a lot and prompts questions, and it seems like they do a ton of research. But, I mean, if you want to see and hear interesting creative people talk without being compressed by time, check it out. It's available for subscription and download on iTunes, and it's just called the Kevin Pollock Chat Show. And I think about 2 weeks ago, it's done live, I think, from California, every Sunday night, seems like. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, he had Damon Lindelof on. And Damon Lindelof is, if you don't know him, he was the showrunner for Lost for the majority of it. And that was the first show he'd ever been in charge of. So it's kind of a shock for him. But Pollock talks to him for about 2.5 hours or so, and it goes by pretty quick. So if you're interested, I mean, speaking of a guy who's involved in a lot of things, from the Star Trek film, the new Star Trek films, to Lost, to he's just in tons of stuff, and he's very involved with J.J. Abrams and projects he's working on. He's doing a lot of producing, and so just a really interesting guy to listen to. So check that out.
He was involved in Super 8.
That's right. Damon Lindelof. No, he wasn't. Yes, he was. No, he wasn't. J.J. Abrams and Spielberg.
Oh, that was J.J. Abrams.
Yeah.
But, I'm getting them mixed up.
Lindelof also works with Roberto Orsi and Alex Kurtzman a lot, too. And those guys are also in J.J. Abrams' sphere of influence. So there you go. You were very interested in a show, a sitcom that you had heard about.
Oh, the Happily Divorced one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just had read, I liked Fran Drescher in The Nanny, and it was kind of... Yeah, and I was kind of wondering what had happened to her, because I hadn't heard a lot lately, and seems like it's kind of based on what happened to her in real life, which is that her husband of however many years, suddenly came out to her. Out of the closet, if you will.
Came out of the closet and out of the closet.
And so they ended up getting divorced, obviously. And so this is apparently based on her true life experience. So we wanted to check it out, and we watched
episode.
Yeah, we did finish it.
And it's not...
It's
you
just,
talk about it.
Well, it's very... the review I had read on it said it's... If you enjoy the formulaic, old-style formulaic type of comedy, then, you know, you would like this. And that's really exactly what you get. Stupid laugh track going on, and...
I think what I found annoying about it, and I said this to you at one point, I mean, really, we've been spoiled, let's be honest. When you've got shows like The Office... and Modern Family, and when you've got really smart, The Community, Parks and Recreation, when you've got all of these really smart, really new, really innovative sitcom approaches, then you go back to something that it was like a needle on a record for me. I just kind of went, wow, this is a really old school formula that's tired.
Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, she's great. It's great to see her again. She's funny. She's good. Rita Moreno plays her mom, and I thought that was awesome. She's great in it. But it's just, and all of these nudge, nudge, wink, wink gay jokes and double entendres and things like that, I just thought this stuff was maybe funny when it was done in Three's Company. And that, I mean, that's how dated some of this feels is... You know, Jack Tripper pretending he's gay and he's not so that he can live with these girls, and then the landlord doesn't know. And, you know, it's just, it's a bit old. So, I don't know.
The other thing about it, I guess, is that we only watched the first episode. It just premiered in the middle of June or so.
Yeah, it's a summer replacement or a summer, I don't know.
So, anyway, if you're interested at all, we didn't give it more than one episode, but maybe you will. So, yes. If you like Fran Drescher at all, and you can, her voice doesn't drive you crazy, check it out.
Let's talk a little bit about, you started this while I was gone, I think, the box office
for the weekend
stuff. Mm-hmm. Transformers Dark of the Moon is doing just fine, thank you very much. Well, it's dropped almost 52%. The film's weekend gross was $47.1 million, which is huge.
Yeah.
And so they're in week two now. Horrible Bosses came in at number two with 28.3. The Zookeeper, the new Kevin James movie, which I really want to see, but I'm afraid to read any reviews of because he doesn't seem to be very lucky. Just over 20 million in week one. Cars 2 is in week three, and they're at $15.2 million.
And still in fourth.
Still in fourth overall, yeah. And have only dropped by, 42% in their box office, so pretty amazing. Bad Teacher with, what is her name, from Mask? Cameron Diaz. I'm not interested in seeing that at all. $8.9 million. Sixth place, Larry Crown, the new
Julia Roberts
and Tom Hanks film, which I have read isn't very good, which I'm disappointed by because I was really excited to see it, and I probably still will, but...
Yes.
Super 8 last week was fifth place, is down to seventh place, and made $4.8 million over the weekend, and down only $38.9 million, so pretty awesome, and in week five now, so it's holding its own quite nicely. Monte Carlo, don't know anything about that. 8th place. Mr. Popper's Penguins with Mr. Carey in 9th place. $3.1 million. Nothing much to say about that. Midnight in Paris, I also don't really know anything about.
Oh, which... you missed Green Lantern, which is in
10th. Oh, I'm sorry. Green Lantern, 10th place. Critics hate it, and people still going to see it. So only dropped by 52%. $3.1 million over the weekend. Total box office so far for Green Lantern of $109 million, almost $110. And it was a $200 million budget so far, so not too bad. Midnight in Paris, don't know anything about. And wrap it up, I guess, with Bridesmaids, which has got really great reviews. $2.6 million, down just 27.9%, and in its 9th week... So, wow, that has some serious staying
still
power.
Still in the top 12. Why are we going to 12?
I don't know.
I always
That's a good
10.
Question.
That's
you always
okay.
Did
you
10
got carried away.
Yeah, I got carried away. I got really excited by it, I guess, which is just plain sad. Now, you know, another thing that there's been a lot of talk of is films crossing the $1 billion box office mark. And, of course, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides did that. About a week ago. I'll just give you the top 10 quickly here. Avatar number one with $2.7 billion. So it's a double.
That surprises me. Really?
It's huge.
Why Avatar? I didn't even
I think
it was that good.
I thought it was, it made me feel blue. That's all I got to say. Second place, no big surprise, Titanic. Third place, no big surprise, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. This one surprises me a little, I guess. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest. Now, I would have said Curse of the Black Pearl should be in there, but okay. Fifth place, Toy Story 3, no big shocker. Alice in Wonderland, number six, that surprises me a little. Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, there it is, in number seven. The Dark Knight, no big shock, with just over $1 billion in eighth position. Ninth position, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. No big surprise at all.
Came close. Didn't quite break it.
No. So then we're kind of into Pirates at World's End was close. Not quite there yet.
Rounding up the top ten.
Now, there's talk of both Transformers Dark of the Moon breaking $1 billion in the next little while, which I think is a sign of the end of the world, perhaps. And also talk of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 getting there. Because critical response to the film is very high right now. It's still early, obviously. It hasn't, it's just kind of early premiere. But also being the last film in the series and kind of the end of this big era, this legendary film saga, I think it'll do quite well.
Probably will.
Quite well indeed. So there you go.
All right. So I'm going to take over.
Okay.
Because you're talking all the time.
Do it.
Just to quickly finish the show off, the last week, or 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, I did 40 through 31, I believe it was, on the summer box office top 50 movies of all time. So number 30 is Mission Impossible 2. Do you agree with that?
Okay. I don't know. Mission Impossible 2. They're working on another one. So we'll see, I guess.
More than the first one?
Do I think it deserves to be there more than the first?
Yeah.
I don't know. I
bet you the first one will be lower down.
Yeah. I actually like the third one. Directed by, again, J.J. Abrams, was J.J.'s motion picture debut. So
maybe one in three are yet to come.
Could be.
29 is The Lost World Jurassic Park. That one I can see, although I could see that one being further up.
Should it be there? You bet Jurassic Park it should.
It could be closer to the top 10, if you ask me.
And, of course, J.P. coming out on Blu-ray this year, which is very exciting.
28 is The Fugitive.
Mr.
The last
Ford.
10 were ruled by the 80s. This 10 seemed to be ruled by the 90s.
Yes.
93, this one came out. An excellent movie. I really enjoyed this movie.
And had for me, it was the first thing that I said when we came out of Super 8. Until Super 8, The Fugitive had the coolest disaster train wreck I have ever seen.
Yeah.
And now Super 8 takes the cake on that one.
Definitely. Number 27, Spider-Man 2.
Yes. Alfred Molina. Love A.M. Alfred Molina was just rocked in that movie. He was so good. So good as Doc Ock.
I don't actually care. Number 26, Ghostbusters. I am just skipping over any and all
superhero
movies. I refuse to comment on them. I'm just going to pretend they don't exist.
Ghostbusters. You know, the kids all often ask me what my favorite movies are, and I always forget to mention Ghostbusters. It's not number one, but it's really high on my list.
Yeah, and back to the 80s for that one.
Exactly.
Good old Ghostbusters. Good old
Speaking of another film I really enjoy.
25 is Die Hard.
Die Hard. Probably the best action film ever made.
I think this one should be higher up, too.
It should be.
I'll be interested to see what the top 10 are.
You know, if Alexander Gudinov had a child, I think you should hyphenate his last name. Not Alexander, not Gudinov. Never mind. Well, that was weak.
Funny.
Yeah, you can tell I'm still not back.
Good old Bruce Willis.
Yep.
Die Hard. Moving on.
Number
24, Back to the Future.
See, this should be higher.
Yes, it should.
It should be higher.
Back to the Future is totally classic summer movie fare.
And a great
film. It's the power
of
love.
It is.
23, E.T. Is that E.T. 23?
Should be higher.
I think so, don't you?
See, you know what's going to end up higher? And I have been rewatching Close Encounters a lot. I think I've watched it twice in the last few days. I love that movie. And E.T. is a great movie, too. Like, wow, Spielberg. He's the king. J.J. Abrams knows how to tell a story that Steven Spielberg would have told.
Right.
With Super 8.
Yes.
Another great film.
22 is Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump. That's him. You're not going to say anything? There's nothing to say, hey?
I think that one's probably about where it should be. It was an interesting, epic-y kind of movie.
Epic-y.
But it's not... Certainly not one of my favorites.
One of my favorite directors, Zemeckis. Two of my favorite actors, Tom Hanks and Gary Sinise. And actually, Robin Wright Penn is one of my favorites,
Yeah,
too.
She's pretty good.
So, a good cast.
The only thing that sticks with me about that movie is that I just crave chocolate.
Because life is a box of them.
It's right.
And speaking of the summer and Mr. Bay.
Number 21, Armageddon.
Armageddon.
Huh. See, to me...
Or Def Leppard, Armageddon it.
Yeah. To me, most of this list between 30 and here deserved to be first before Armageddon.
Yeah, see,
it was forgettable, and it's just like half a billion other disaster movies that they keep remaking.
This is an interesting comment here. Somebody says Armageddon is essentially just Die Hard on an asteroid, which I don't know.
Yeah, it's forgettable. Whatever.
It also has a lot of those. Amber kind of huge shots that Michael Bay does, and also the group of people on a team slow walking That's another Michael Bay number that's
in. It did have a pretty good cast, though.
Oh, it did.
In all
totally
fairness.
Did. Totally did.
Are we doing 20? Should we save 20 for next week?
We'll save 20 for next
week.
So we're there's some surprises next week in the top 20. So there you go. Not the top 20, but 20 to 11. You know, whatever.
Yes.
I have no idea what I'm talking about. Now let's.
Should we leave this?
You know what? We're going to leave this for next week.
Yeah. We're getting along here.
Something
time
else
to go.
We were going to talk to you about, and Michelle's got some drinking to do before she goes to work tonight. So
that's right. I can't face this evening sober.
So I can't face any evening sober. Tequila, no longer just for breakfast. Everybody have a great week, and thanks for coming back, and thanks for the warm welcome. Oh, wait, we don't have a studio audience.
Here.
What?
That's not the one I meant to do.
Michelle hit the wrong button.
They're laughing at you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make them laugh. Okay, here we go. This is the one I wanted.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, and good night.
Yay,
that's right.
He's back.
That's right. So that's been View from the Couch for Wednesday, July the 13th. Have a great week, everybody. We'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to View from the Couch, a DVD Verdict podcast. View from the Couch is available exclusively on DVDverdict.com. Watch for new episodes every week. Thanks for your continued support. Kent and Michelle appreciate it. Be sure to visit DVDverdict.com for the latest in DVD and theatrical release reviews, DVD release information, talent interviews, event coverage, and much, much more.